died, Son of Man, his life poured out for all. See his hands, see his scars, his love can't be denied. Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood he shed delivers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. Our love so great, the cross suffices. Hey. Every day, all we owe, he bears it as his own. Brought to life, we are free to live in Christ alone. Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood he shed delivers me.
Again, I think it's awesome that, you know, that in the Bible God just says, where you're two or more and gathered my name, there I am. So I think, you know, that's a pretty minimal requirement, right? Just takes one other person, you know. So, you know, if you're watching at home alone, that's fine, you know, maybe take a laptop to a friend's house, but afterwards, after the service, find somebody to pray with. You know, it's a very easy requirement. The other easy requirement is that, you know, you can know the Father by going through the Son. So this first song is about just one way to God is through Jesus Christ, his Son. Let's stand up together and sing.
Dana.
My life down at your feet, 'cause you're the only one I need. I turn to you and you are always there. troubled times, it's you I see. I put you first, that's all I need. I humble all I am, all to you. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. You were always, always there, every how and everywhere. Grace abounds so deeply within me. You will never, ever change. Yesterday, today, the same. Forever till forever meets no
end.
One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We live by faith and not by sight. For you, we're living all for you.
All right, let's sing that loud.
You are the way, the truth, and the life. We live by faith and not by sight. For you, we're living all for you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I live by faith and not by sight. For you, we're living all for you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I live by faith and not by sight. For you, we're living all for you. Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I live by faith and not by sight. For you, we're living all for you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I live by faith and not by sight. For you, we're living all for you. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for.
Never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
And it goes on and on.
And on and on and on and on it goes. And it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains. This one thing. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, in death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. And I know my debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Come on. Your love never fails, never loses.
Your love never fails, never gives up,
never runs out on me.
You've done for me. the beauty of your holy word. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice 'cause you set me free. So I'll shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. All that I am, a place into your loving hands. And I am yours. I am yours.
Let's sing it out.
Here I am. I stand with arms wide open to the one, the Son, the everlasting God, the everlasting God. Here I am, I stand with arms wide open to the one, the Son, the everlasting God.
Man, Lord God, we are placing ourselves in your hands. We're glad that we are all here. And God, we know that all of us come from different places, whether we are coming from a place of just peace and joy, or whether we're coming from a place where we're just uncertain and our lives are just holding together by a thread. God, we just are going to come together in whatever we are, and we're going to come together in the one who can make all things change and make everything just fall by the wayside and lift us up, and his name is Jesus. So, God, as we are here today, just continue to speak your word to us through your Holy Spirit. And God, now as we take this time to go ahead and honor you further through receiving your tithe and our offerings, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon these gifts so we can meet the many needs here and around the world. In your name we pray. Amen. You can sit or you can stay, remain standing. It's up to you. Thank you.
of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. Waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear. I count it all as lost for the sake of knowing you, for the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. All to you, all to you, and I surrender all to you, all to you, and I surrender. Sake of you, my King.
Greet one another. Say hello to somebody you haven't seen. What? I get in here, we're just... All right, everybody there? Okay. This time last year was a really good day because the Eagles were in the Super Bowl. Today, nobody cares. But anyway, happy Super Sunday or whatever they call it. I might get fined for saying that. Oh, well. All right. So good to have you here. If you're visiting, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Hopefully our ushers got you a card just to welcome you from being here. And also, there's this thing called snow. Anybody seen enough of it? Anybody cold? Anybody no cold? Isn't it going to be 60 like in 2 days? Yeah, it's all good. Welcome to our part of the world. But anyway, couple different things here. But we do want to welcome you and thank you for being here. If you're joining us for the first time, we want to welcome Church Online. We're glad that you're joining with us. And we're just glad that you're here and hope that God reaches and touches you in a special way. A couple other things that we have here on our list. In a couple weeks, the 17th, we have our Parish Foundation. If you want to go ahead and help with that, connect to the Parish Foundation. It's a great area where we can help people there, and there's sign-ups over here in the Bell Cafe, or you can do that online. Couple other things. Our youth are having a sub sale, which is also the 17th, and you can see that information there. Some other things that they're meeting after church. the emergency rotating shelter. We are helping Wesley United Methodist Church during their week of February 11th through the 17th. So if you want, you can go and help at the shelter, and then you can go buy subs, and then you can go help at Parish Foundation. It's all a big week that week. So, and you can see the information about women's group and a Bible study. And I do want to show this right here. I want to show you this video about grief share. And it's a couple minutes, so I ask you to take a look at this.
My husband took his boys out ice fishing in eastern Montana. An 81-year-old semi-truck driver crossed over the center line, hit my husband head-on, killed him instantly, and my 9-year-old stepson.
In February of 2011, completely unexpectedly, my husband's heart failed, and he left us.
I've lost my sister, Linda. She died of COPD. Shortly after that, my mom passed away. She had a stroke, but I think she died of a broken heart.
Teresa was diagnosed with lupus at age 12. She fought hard for 14 years. I had to make the hardest decision of my life and take her off life support. I'd be with my family and friends after Teresa passed, and yet I feel like I'm totally alone.
I didn't really feel like I had anyone to talk to or anyone that could relate.
You'll have friends in your life that will be empathetic and they care about you and they want to help, but if they haven't been through something similar to what you have been, or if they haven't had a great loss in their life, it's just going to be hard for them to completely understand.
The first time walking to Grief Share, I was very nervous. After a few meetings, you just start opening up more and listening to the people's stories.
You're learning about scripture. You're learning about questions that, you know, come through grief.
And you've realized that you're not alone.
You're able to take the things that they've done or things that they've felt and realize that, hey, that is normal. I'm not going crazy.
Everyone's grief is different and that it's okay to grieve how you need to grieve.
That's the one thing I love about Grief Share, because you do listen. People listen to you.
And to be able to go to the Grief Share group where there's other people that have had great loss, it just feels like they really understand.
By the end of the 13 weeks, we're laughing, joking, and just sharing the memories of our loved ones and just having fellowship.
It's not always a sad time. We have time when we get together and do get to be real with each other. Christ is our real healer.
I'm learning to live with grief and not live in grief.
He's the one that can always help us. He's the one that will never leave or forsake us.
You're still hurting and grieving. I believe that Grief Share could help you.
All right, where's Donna? Is she there? There you go. Donna, what nights are you meeting? Wednesday evenings at what time? 6:30. So right here, those who've been part of it, it's a great, great deal. If you know friends in your neighborhood, I mean, we're not just about Haven Community Church. We're about whoever Christ brings to us. So we want people to be able to connect there. And as the one man said, that he's learning to live with grief in his life. It doesn't go away. Am I right? Anybody lost anybody? You know, it doesn't just go away, but you continue to live with it. So it's a great ministry, and we're thankful to be having that. All that information is there. If you need to call and talk or just need to send something to somebody to get a feel, please go ahead and do so. We want you to be able to go ahead and do that. Also, something that's down there every week that we don't mention, but some people ask about small groups, personal Bible studies and things. Right down there is Right Now Media, and you can get access for free to tons of resources. It's an awesome, awesome thing. I do want to show, before we go to our prayer list, this is our last week of our series right now, The Word Written. Next week, we're going to have a new series, and I kind of wanted to do this a little bit different. I want to introduce this to you through a brief video form, and it's going to be on the Song of Solomon, just in time for Valentine's Day. Here we go. All right, so next week we will begin Love Song, and we'll do that for several weeks. And as I will announce, sometimes it's up to parents, but there will be some PG-13. You remember, if anybody grew up in a church, Song of Solomon is the book that you looked up and laughed about certain things, okay? But you can learn a lot about relationships, and so what a better time than this time, whether you're single or married or want to be married or... We're not going to say want to be single. If you want to be single, this may help you not be. Okay, so come on and connect to this series that will begin next week. And then also, we have a Pick Your Prize Variety Bingo February 22nd. And this is going, anybody know any bingo buffs, people who are crazy for bingo, you can take this to them, give it to them, and they'll go, thank you. All right, so give it to them. And the proceeds of that are going to help for our trip, mission trip to Haiti. And there's some really cool stuff that God's beginning to continually doing with our Haiti mission and our brothers and sisters in church last week. I mean, well, last week, Pastor Oog actually participated through the internet through Facebook Live on Haiti's site. So we're really excited about what God's doing in our ministry together. All right? I want to go to the Lord with some prayer requests that we have here. Jessica Felix asked for prayers for her 86-year-old grandmother who was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. So we want to lift that family in your prayers. Randy Fluker, Bob Nichols, who's always a smiling face when we come in, is dealing with walking pneumonia. Scott and Jen, Jen's dad went into the hospital with infections and possible pneumonia. So we want to continue to lift them in prayers. Maria Jones, also from Scott, is having a biopsy Tuesday, and possibly could be breast cancer, so we're going to look that up. Lisa's friend Robin best friend has cancer in lung and kidney. We want to lift them up. We also want to lift up the family of Curtis Rasnick. Many may know Curtis from this area. He passed away very suddenly the other day, and he is Judy's uncle, so we'll be honoring his life this week as well, and he was a very, very good man. So we want to continue to lift that family, Peggy and the family, up in your prayers, okay? Let's go to the Lord in a brief prayer, and then we'll continue in our service. Lord, we lifted up these prayer requests and needs, and we recognize there's some joys, there's some birthdays, there's some anniversaries, there's some other things in there. But God, we come to you right now as we lift up the requests that we have here for those that seem the pneumonias, the death, the cancer, the things that are there, that are surrounding. And God, we know there's many, many more in our hearts and our minds. And so we just ask right now that you become the Prince of Peace and you give peace to all circumstances as you minister your healing in your way to these that we've lifted up and so many others. And so God, the remainder of this time, we just ask that you get us out of the way. And you go ahead and bring your word and your presence in a more powerful way than you ever have to teach us about who you are and who your word is, and that we can hold on to that. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
In the last week of the Word Written series. It shouldn't be trusting it. That was last week. It's holding on to it. Okay, so holding on to it. Somebody said out there, that's a good one for a football game day. Holding on to it. So, but here we are. So today I'm going to get rolling because I got a lot. I want to apologize right away because in some ways I could have split this up into two messages, but I'm not doing it. I'm putting my head down. I'm going to barrel you over. All right, you ready? We're going to have a lot of notes. If you like to take notes, if you're a good note taker, take a lot of notes. If you're not a good note taker, hang in there. All right, so we'll be good. But I want to. I'm going to give you a lot of details today, and like I said, I'm going to pick up. We picked up exactly where we left off last week. So those who were with us last week, or those who may have connected and seen last week, we're going to pick up with a verse that we left off and that was just read to us by June. Let's look at it again, and let's look at it this way. And Jesus said this: If you hold to my teaching. Hold. That's an interesting statement there. Hold to it, or hold on to it. You are really my disciples, and then you will what? Know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. There we go. And the truth shall set you free. So what we're looking about is holding on to it. And this has all been about the Word of God. And holding on to it is today because guess what? The series is ending. Right? So while we're in the midst, I don't know if that's you, but when you're in the midst of a series about something, you kind of are like paying a lot more attention to it. At least I do. And I pay a lot more attention to it. And then when that series goes, I'm ready to go jump to the other thing. But I want you to hold on to it. I want this year to be something that you hold on to the Word of God, that you fall in love with the Word of God. And if it's a day that you don't have it, you just feel like you lost your best friend. And so, I can't say that we can continue this message series, so I want you to to hold on to it and to know. And that term right there, and know the truth. Knowing there does not mean head knowledge. It's kind of like a heart knowledge here that you know the truth, that you're convicted of it, you live with it, it's there, and it'll set you free. So we're going to talk about today ways in which we can hold on. Holding on is difficult. There are several things in life that we like want to hold on to. Like, how many of us like to hold on to our youth? You ever met people who hold on to the youth, and they do things that they probably shouldn't have done for 30 years, and they might not have even done them then, but they try them, and then they're like, ugh, they're all sore. I remember, Larry, when you guys used to have the Thanksgiving football game, man, we were leaving it all on the field, weren't we, Larry? And I tried to chop block somebody one time, and I went, ugh. And I had this big, remember that? I had a big bump in the middle. I think I cracked my sternum. Don't chop block a man who's bigger than you, just to let you know, on frozen ground. But my head was holding on to my youth. My body was saying, fella, you know what I mean? So a lot of us can go ahead and relate to that. But if there's two things I think that we really, in life, that we have to, or we really need to hold on to. One is our relationship with God. We need to hold on to our relationship with God. And the other is our relationship with others. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some relationships that you're connected with that you should have gotten rid of years ago because they're not good for you. But I do believe that there's good relationships that we need to hold on to. And so it's kind of cool we're getting into a relationship series next, because some of us may believe like the only people we can really trust the only thing that we can really trust or relationship that we have besides maybe God is our dog. You know, like your dog kind of like no matter what you do, you could yell at your dog and you know, whatever, and then a second later you're like, come here, and they're like, I love you, you know. And so if you want to, don't believe me, go ahead and take your spouse and your dog and lock them in your trunk. Come back in an hour and see which one is happy to see you, right? Don't try that or else you will really need next week's series. But you know what I mean, am I right? Your dog will be like, yay, you're back. Your spouse will be like, I'm going to kill you. All right, so these are the things that we have. So anyway, let's jump into this. How can I hold on to God's word is the question that we're asking. And these are all you have to's. You have to. So you have to make it, I have to make it the foundation of my life. I have to make it the foundation of my life. In other words, everything in my life needs to be built upon it. Upon it. When you go buy houses, you don't go, man, look at that foundation. You know why? Because you don't see it. It's underneath. But guess what? If you had a poor foundation, it doesn't matter how pretty the house is, it ain't going to last very long. You need a solid and good foundation. In other words, the quality of the foundation. How many have ever built a house in here? Anybody ever built a house? How many had somebody come by and inspect your foundation? Why do they do that? For money, we know. But no, why do they do that? To make sure it's strong and is doing what it needs to do. It's got to hold up the rest of the structure. And so often, they want to make sure it's a high quality. And if we build, what we build our foundation of our life on determines the quality of how our life is. So if we build the foundation on the Word of God, then the quality of our marriage will be more solid. If we build the foundation of our emotions, we might have more stable emotions. What if we parent built on the Word of God? What if we relate to others built on the foundation of the Word of God? It's going to be a stronger foundation. And Jesus said this. In Matthew chapter 7, he talked about the wise and foolish builder. And look what he says here. He said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does what? Puts them into practice is like a wise man or a wise person that builds his house on the rock, that puts the foundation. If you hear the word of God, you also got to put it into practice and build your life on it. Then you are wise. That's what he said. He goes on to say that if you put it in a wrong foundation, like sand or something else, it will fall with a great crash. And so I started thinking that many of us may have good intentions and we may hear the word of God, but we may not put it into practice. And by doing so, we may build our lives in other foundations. And I think all of us may be guilty in some of those areas. So I want to share with you a quick list of these things that I think we often build our foundation, the foundation that we build on. Number one is popular culture. Popular culture. What I've learned that is consistent about culture, popular culture, is it shifts and changes. It shifts and changes. But God's word remains forever. God's word is truth, and it stays there. So, you know, I often ask people, what is truth when I'm teaching or something else? And we live in a time where truth can be what I want it to be. And so if truth is what I want it to be, your truth is different from mine. Therefore, it doesn't meet the definition of truth. You with me? But God's word is very clear. Very clear. Now, I will tell you, depending upon our cultures at the time and where we're shifting and going and what we like and everything else, we will take God's word and twist and distort it. But God's word is truth, and that's why we need to make it a foundation. So the question is, how much of the world do we let in to our lives? What do we give our attention to the most? What do we give our attention to the most? And there's a lot of good things in this world, am I right? There's a lot of really cool things in the world that we can participate in and have. And we live in one of the best times in some ways in the world, that we have access to so many things. But then again, we live in a time where I remember I was talking with a friend of mine who I went to seminary and grad school with, and we were talking about how we were talking on the phone yesterday for about an hour, for the first time in a long time. We were talking about how when we went to school that we had people talking about that there is coming a postmodern age in our culture. And back then, it wasn't there, and not many of us were worried about it. I hate to tell you, in many ways, we are right there right now. As we look around the popular culture around us, and we see how things have shifted, and culture never shifts overnight and says, here's God's truth, nope, we're going to do this tomorrow. It slides a little bit, and slides a little bit, and slides a little bit before, then we go, whoa, what happened here as well? And so we need to hold on to the truth of God. So what is how much of that do we let in? So, look at what it says here in Exodus 23. It says, don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. And that's a concept. We don't know what is right and what is wrong. So be careful we're not building on the same material that the world builds on. Number two, this may shock you, tradition. Tradition. Now, I like some traditions. Like when it comes to Christmas and other things, I like some traditions. I like some traditions in church as well. But one of the things about tradition is you can't be bound by tradition. You can't be bound by it. Sometimes people, as the big joke in the church growing up was that if you tried something new, people say, well, we never did it that way. All right? No, we've never done that. And, you know, but sometimes maybe you just need to look at tradition, because what happens is some will argue on how they want this or they want that. They like the tradition more than God himself. So, for instance, some people like the same seat. Their tradition is a seat. I've seen people, and I've heard stories about people who if a visitor comes in, they want visitors, but if a visitor comes in, sit in their seat, they stand over top of them. You're in my seat. you're in my seat. You know, like that. And so you think that visitor's coming back. There's a guy named Walt Collistod. He was a very big pastor in the, I think it was Presbyterian or Lutheran church. And he had a Community Church of Joy, which was a major growing church years ago out in Arizona. And he was visiting on a speaking engagement and went to a local church within his denomination. And he pulled in and there was no parking spot, so he pulled out and he said the person came out the door and flicked him off with a middle finger. He said, believe me, he wasn't saying one way to Jesus, okay? You think he's going back? You know, that's an interesting tradition to greet people at church. But what I'm saying is sometimes we like music a certain way. We want windows a certain way. We want this a certain way, and we get so caught up. It's not the song that we should be attached to. It's who it stands for. We should be connected to Christ. I remember I've gotten into some situations as a pastor over 20-some years, and I remember when I was in Lewis, Delaware, they had this window, and it was Jesus in Gethsemane, and it was like the window. If you brought somebody into the church, they say, see the window? You see the window? And I went in the other week. I was doing a funeral, and somebody said, look, see the window? And it's a pretty window. It's a gorgeous window. Stained glass windows are gorgeous. I get it. So what happened one time, there was somebody in the church who's and so it had this big, like, three-panel stained glass, Jesus going, okay? And it was beautiful. And then below, they had, like, in memory and honor of whoever originally kind of put these things there, and they had some extra spaces. And so there was a person in the church who wanted to go ahead, and his wife had died, and he wanted to donate lots of money, but he wanted to put her name underneath that window. And so he went through what we thought the proper channels were. He went and talked to trustees. Everybody did. So they cut out this part and put in this part in the window, and then World War III started. What is that doing there? Oh, my gosh, I got calls, I got texts, I got emails, I got calls, I got texts. I think the trustee chair almost got death threats all over this window. And everything lasted that until they found someone who could put the window back exactly the way it was. And people were like, oh, thank God. And when I was down there a couple weeks ago, I saw a guy who I was really close to. And he said, hey, look over here. You want to cut in this window? I said, knock it off, Alan, right? So what it is, the window is showing Christ before he went to the cross, and more people, I would say, if Jesus was standing right there, were more concerned about the window than Jesus. This is our traditions, where our traditions get in the way. And so we I like songs this way. We all have our likes, but we should like Jesus a heck of a lot more than the music that's being played, or the seat that's at it, or the window on the wall, right? You get what I'm saying here? I met a guy in Mexico. We were on vacation one time, and we're standing in line. It was a smaller resort. We're standing in line to get food, and it's all-you-can-eat food, and it's good food. I can eat, and I listen to the guy. He's like, I don't stand in line at home. I can't believe. Then I hear him sitting at a table. This doesn't taste like it does at home, and I'm like, go home, right? You're not home, all right? If you want that, stay home. You know what I mean? So we need to go ahead. So many of us get into stuff, music, seats, other things. Look what it says here in this verse of Scripture. We hear this in Mark's gospel. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Boy, we can learn something from the church about the commands of God. Love one another as I have loved you, over and above what our traditions are. I think we could save a lot of problems and get rid of a lot of church politics and a lot of politics in the world if we just began to love one another as Christ loved us. You see, there's so many things that we like of our traditions. And when we worship the tradition, we don't worship God. Number three, reason. Reason. A lot of you'll say something, somebody's like, let me think this through. Let me think about this. I gotta think about this. And then we'll think about it and say, I don't agree. So you're saying you don't agree with Jesus? Yeah, my mind just doesn't do it. Okay, good luck with that one, all right? That you don't agree. You don't agree. Let me think that through. God gave us a mind and we need to use it. I'd say there's two dangers that we have when it comes to reason, knowing too little and think we know too much. Both of those areas are both dangerous. Look at what it says here in Proverbs chapter 16. It says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. It may seem right. I've had logical conversations with people about the existence of God. And I've gone all around the table, and I just want to give you this hint. If you're an atheist, it takes faith to believe that you're an atheist. If you're a believer, it takes faith to believe in Christ. Go ahead and check and see what happens more so, and go back to last week's sermon about the truth of God's word and see if that doesn't help a little bit more. If it's a choice between God's word and your brain, I'm going to give you a hint. Choose God. It's a good choice, all right? That's why he's God, and I'm not. Next thing. This one's probably the most ridiculous one. Feelings. Feelings. We all have feelings, and they get in our way, don't they? We live in a time, if it feels good, not just do it, but it's got to be right. Our feelings lie to us. All the time they will lie to us. They can't be trusted. They can't be trusted. If we follow feelings instead of God's word, it will end up in a chaotic existence, and the cyclical pattern of our lives will be going from feeling to feeling, emotion to emotion, chaos to chaos. Have you ever, one time, felt something that wasn't real, but you felt it? And I've always told people, your perception is your reality. If your perception is that you are loved and a child of God, that's going to change than if you believe somebody hates you. You know what I mean? So if the world hates you and Jesus doesn't, it's cool. One of the most tragic, chaotic books in all the scripture is one called the Book of Judges. And the Book of Judges has a cyclical pattern that increasingly gets worse. And it says, once again, they forgot about God and did as their own hearts desired. Okay, they went into their own feelings. And it's consistent, and it gets worse and worse till the end of the book. A man is taking his concubine, cutting her up, and sending her in pieces to Israel. Not a very good story, right? But when we look, we see what it says here in the Book of Judges. At that time, there was no king in Israel. In other words, nobody to say, hey, here's what's right. And the people did whatever they felt like doing, and it did not end well for them. So two questions that I want to test you as we move to the latter part of this message is the two questions. Number one, what do I do when I get into God's word and I don't understand? What do I do when I don't understand? Go ahead and trust in God. Recognize that God is greater than us, and he knows things that we don't know. You remember when you were a kid and your parent, or you remember as a parent now, the greatest tool ever is to say, because I said so. All right? God sometimes just says, because I said so. And a lot of times my parents said, do as I say, because I said so. And then on the other end of that, I found out why now on this side of life. You know what I mean? I've grown in my understanding. Doesn't mean I liked it. Did anybody like those things? Like if you wanted to go out and do something, they're like, no, you're not going to go out with Charles Manson tonight. It's not happening, all right? So that's a good thing. We don't understand. But Charlie's pretty cool. He's got cool hair. Kind of looks a little bit like Jesus. You know what I mean? So this is the kind of stuff that that we need to learn. And the second question is, what do I do when I don't like it? What do I do when I don't like it? We just have to trust in it. We just have to trust in God. We have to obey the Bible. Sometimes we need obedience before understanding. And it's tragic to reject something that you've never tried. For instance, I remember I was on a youth weekend one time, and they had grilled cheese. How many like grilled cheese? A good grilled cheese sandwich, right? So yeah, they had grilled cheese, and I looked at a person, and I asked somebody from the kitchen for something, and I began to put it on my grilled cheese. I put on jelly. Now, right now you're saying, ooh, and you're rejecting me before you've even tried it. So here's your homework this week. Make some grilled cheese, throw some jelly on it, come back and apologize to me, all right? Because it's good. It's good stuff. It's really, isn't it? That's disgusting. Don't listen to Lisa. But yeah, we've all tried some things that, like, wow, it's good. Like, that kind of stuff. Try it this week. I'm going to make sure you try it. I'm going to test you next week. And you're going to be like, Jack, I apologize from my heart that you are Jelly King. Okay, so, but I'm telling you, when I first started, the young men on that group were like, oh, that's disgusting. What's wrong with you? I said, try it. Like, no, I'm not trying. One person said, I'll try it. I'll try anything. They put it on, they're like, it's pretty good. So then before you know it, the kitchen kept saying, we need more jelly. I'm like, what did I tell you? It's awesome. There are many people who think that the grilled cheese of the gospel, they're rejecting it because they think we're putting jelly and other kinds of stuff on it, and they've never even tried Jesus. And part of that is because we've put jelly on it, and it seems disgusting to them. And sometimes we put hot sauce on it. Sometimes we put dog dew on it. Sometimes we've done a lot of stuff, and we've made God be something he's not. We need to repent of that. We need to get back to saying, no, try this. This is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All right? That's what we need to convey to the world. All right, so we have that. And then it says right here in Matthew chapter 6. But and here's what we're going to do. Excuse me, not there yet. We need to make it the first part of our day. That was number two. First one is make it the foundation. And if we don't make it the foundation of our life, the rest of these aren't going to matter. So, but from once we attempt to make a commitment to make it our foundation, we want to make it the first part of our daily lives. I shared this last year, but I'm going to redo it because I think it's a great little tool. Matthew chapter 6 says to us this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Notice it doesn't say just seek. It says, but seek when? First, his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else gets added to you as well when we first seek him. So this is a challenge for you. This is a way that you can make this doable by what I call the first 15. Didn't come up with it on my own, but I think it's a great practice. The first 15 of the day. And here's the commitment. Here's what I want you to begin to take to test this and do it. Number one, take 5 minutes. Everybody say five. Okay, you got 5 minutes. 5 minutes and get into the Word of God. Take 5 minutes. Some people like the one-year Bible, which is online and you can get it regularly. It does an Old Testament, a New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb. Okay, one-year Bible. Some people like YouVersion, which has all kinds of different things that you have there. You may say, Jack, I can't get that 5 minutes in. I'll do 3 minutes. Okay, I can't get the 3 minutes in. Do 1 minute, okay? I'd rather have one sentence of the Word of God than none at all. You know what I mean? Start with it 5 minutes. And so you might need, if you say, but you don't know, I have a really long trip to work. Guess what? There's this thing called cell phones, and they have apps, and they have free apps where they'll read to you. One guy's British. It'll make you sound like God's reading to you. Hello there, I'm the Lord your God. And you're like, oh, yes, you are. Okay, it'll make your ride a little bit better. Go ahead, and you'll probably get a couple chapters in that long ride if you do that, all right? Put God to the test there. Look what it says in Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You know what that's called? That's called enlightenment. Get in the Word of God, and God will enlighten some of the things in your life. Number two, so we have 5 minutes in the Word and 5 minutes in worship. You say, what's this, Jack? Do I have to, you know, I'm a hand raiser and eye closed. I can't be doing that on the road. No, you cannot. But, you know, hey, put in a song. 5 minutes is one song. If it's Bethel Church, it's probably 25 minutes, but because they go on and on and on, like that song we were singing, on and on and on it goes. But they're in the worship zone. Find something. You can turn on the radio. There's a thing called Spotify. If you don't know it and you feel old, ask one of the kids. They'll tell you. There's plenty of different things. If you have Amazon Prime, they give you music. All you have to do is a search with it, and you can go ahead and have Chris Tomlin radio if you want. Oh, I like that. You can have any today's Christian music. It's good. You can have whatever you want. It's one song. You might download your one favorite song, and you might play it over and over again. And then when we sing it one Sunday, you're going to be like, yeah, here it is. You're going to know every verse, okay? But just worship God, because there's times in life that I can read the Word of God, and yet I can still feel void in me. I can still feel distant. But sometimes when you put that music on, it calms the savage beast in me. You know what I mean? It purges me of the anger and everything else and frustration, and it soothes me. And some of you may have felt that today when you came in, and the music may just went ahead and helped you with that. Look at what it says here in Psalm 34:1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. That's praising. And the last one, prayer. 5 minutes in prayer. You're like, Jack, I don't know what to say. I know some of you talk a lot. Talk to God. Just spend some time talking to God. Just start off. And I guarantee you with those 5 minutes, you won't run out of things to say. How do I know what to say, though, Jack? Here we go. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to tell you what you need to say. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. What does that mean? And thanksgiving. Present your request to God. So you go to God and say, hey, God, you're awesome. Thank you so much. You spend time thanking God. And he say, okay, here's my laundry list of stuff that I need help with in my life. That'll take five. You can get that done in 5 minutes. And the peace, and here's the promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. That's powerful. That's what I want for you. I want peace, and I want your hearts to be guarded. So start with these first 15 and go through them. Next thing. Next one is make it grow deeper. Make it grow deeper in your life. When you're holding on to the Word of God, make it grow deeper in your life. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you a secret. You get to control the depths of where God's Word goes. So if you've reached a point where you aren't allowing God to get to you anymore, it is because you are stopping it. You're saying, no, no, that's not true, Jack. Yes, it is. Let me show you in the Word. Look at what it says here. Let, everybody say let. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know what let means? It means you are the one who allows it. Some people aren't growing because you're like, I'm not going to grow. Not going to do it. I've gone all I want. I don't believe this. I'm not going to say this. I question this. Boom, boom. And you're not letting the Word of God take root in your life. And you're just stopping it right there. Just stopping it right there. Let the Word of God dwell in you. I want to show you an illustration here about what I'm talking about. Okay? So this is some hot water here, I hope. Okay? And these are what? You guys are awesome. Okay, here we go. So look. So if this is the Word of God and this is my life, and so I can go ahead and I can say, okay, I'm coming to church on Sunday. Okay? There we go. Now you see it's a little bit discolored, right? Just a little bit. But if it stays that way, I'm still basically water with some discoloration. You know, I got a little bit of God. So look, I can put a little bit more in here. Oh, there we go. Okay, that's a little bit more. Don't worry, it's dripping. It's okay. See, you guys are more worried about your tradition about stuff in the church than you are about what I'm talking about. All right. So, but what we need to do is to hold on to the Word of God and let it sit in there. Let it grow deeper and deeper in our lives. Let it take root, and it will change and transform each of us. And we will begin to take on the nature of what's being put into us rather than the nature that we were in the first place, right? Get it? That was good. I don't care what you say. All right? So we need these dips or these dunks in life. So I gave you some of them. Some of them are the message a little bit more, or getting in the first 15, et cetera, and doing that. So we need to have those to change us in life. Next thing is what are some of these dips? Okay, here we go. I'm going to give you a list of a couple dips. I don't have it in your bulletin, but you can write them in because they're important. Number one, get a translation you like. Did a preacher say get a translation you like? Yes, he did. Because I get questioned, I get challenged, I get everything else about different translations all the time. The scripture says nothing is new under the sun, and neither is any of these translation arguments. So which is right? That's not the question. Unless you know Hebrew and Greek, they're the only ones that are right. Perfectly right. Hebrew and Greek. How many of you know Hebrew and Greek? Exactly. So here's what we have here. Here's what we have here. The first modern English translation was written in 1525-26 by William Tyndale, who translated the New Testament into English from Greek. And because of doing that, he was killed for doing it. It wasn't until 1611 that the King James Bible came along. And it stayed around. It was pretty much the only one for 200 plus years in English. And the King James has some awesome stuff. Many of us recognize the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? The most of us learned the Lord's Prayer in King James English. It's okay. That's cool. If you like it, rock it out. But some people, let's go back to tradition, love the fact that the old English, some of us think that Jesus was born in England. Have you ever seen the movies that Jesus comes out? Hello, how art thou? Blessed all the cheesemakers. Sorry, I had to go back into Monty Python. Sorry, my bad. All right. Forgive me, Lord. Okay. Let me just share with you. You guys saw it? Hey, the ones who are laughing have seen it, so you're along with me here. All right. The cheesemakers. Sorry. Okay. I'm so bad. So I want to share with you the three types of translations that the Bible has in English, okay? Because I want to help shed some light on something that has probably been one of the most controversial things that doesn't need to be. And there's a couple of different things. One is there's a group of translations called, the first ones are called formal equivalency. And the formal equivalency are these: King James, New King James Version, the New American Standard Bible, and the English Standard Bible. Now, what is formal equivalency? Which means they went to the text that they had. Now, I will share with you, remember last week I talked about the Dead Sea Scrolls. They didn't have them for the King James, but it's okay because we saw that the Bible stayed pretty much the same. So, but they went back to the original Greek text that they had, and they translated word for word, okay, based on that. King James, New King James took these, thous, arts, and changed them to me, you, those kind of things. They changed them into more modern. NASB was from the American Standard Bible, which some of you might remember. That was the first one to really kind of come out after the King James. They gave you more of a modern English. And the ESV is probably the newest translation that is direct from that. And I like it a lot for like the scholarly kind of study stuff that's there. So those are the formal equivalencies, word for word. But the problematic thing about that is grammar often changes over time. It changed from Hebrew and Greek to English, and over 2,000 years it's changed. I guarantee you I could give you some old English words that are in the Bible that mean nothing, that don't mean the same thing that we say today, okay? So we need to recognize that. So these are the formal equivalency. The next one we have are called the functional equivalency, and these are the New Living Translation, the Good News Bible, Today's English Version, and the New International Bible, the NIV. Now, these are translated, again, from the Greek text, but they're also thought by thought. So what they do is they go ahead and they look at the whole entire thought of the sentence, and then they translate the sentence. So it may not be word for word, but the entire thought is conveyed so that you can understand it a little bit more and take it into that grammar change that happened over the years. So they take the whole sentence. The NIV doesn't really fit here, but should be between both the functional and the formal, because they did go word for word in some areas, and then they went in some other areas to try to bridge that gap between both of them. Interesting, the NIV had 100 scholars that worked on this, and they did this, it came out in 1979. And since its next printing in 1987, it has outsold all other versions of the Bible in English, and it's really kind of a really good one that I like for study. By translations, you always, if you want to find something that's a little bit off in a translation, you will find it. I will tell you that in any way. And then the last section that we want to talk about is a paraphrase of the Bible. And so these were basically people who took an English version of the Bible, whether it be King James or whether it be one of the other ones, picked it up, looked at it, and said, I'm going to paraphrase that into modern terms. The original one that was kind of done that way was the Living Bible, and I want to tell you, it was never intended for people to read. It was a man who had all he had was the King James Bible, and he had kids who didn't understand it, so he paraphrased it, and he gave it to his kids. That's why if many of you grew up like I did back in third grade, they probably gave you a Living Bible, because it was geared for children to understand. It's not very good scholarly at all. The newest one that is a paraphrase, but he also went back to the Greek at times, it was done by Eugene Peterson, and it's called The Message. And it's really kind of fun to hear the message at times. So it's kind of like I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. It's like, woo, let's go to church, people. You know, it's like that kind of thing. So I'll show you a little difference in the examples here. And if you look, first one, this is from 1 Corinthians 13. Anybody been to a wedding? You probably heard this. You have it up there? Am I right? Is it up there? Okay, here we go. This is in the King James Version. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, but is puffeth up. Okay? That's that one. All right? So many of us know that. And many of us look at it as poetic, but actually back when it was written, it was the lowest form of English at the time. Okay? We just look at it as higher because of King James. Here is the NIV. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It is not boast. It is not proud. Okay? We probably heard that. Now, here is the message, the paraphrase. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. All right? That is not translated word for word to let you know, okay? There's no swelled head in there. Okay, so you see the difference? But find something, a translation that you connect with. I would much rather you have one that you connect to God with than one that you don't understand at all. So, in addition to this, what I want you to do, when you find that translation you like, get a study Bible. Get one that you have. We also, again, we said we have Bibles. I want you to have a paper Bible. We have them that we're giving away. If you want one, go in the back. We'll make sure that you get one. But sometimes there's study Bibles, and anytime I teach disciple, I say get one because it has like some commentary in there that can just help you understand or see something maybe a little different. A couple that I want to share that I think are the best is this one, right? It's one like this, and it comes in different translations, the Life Application Bible. It's really cool. You have a verse of scripture, and then you have like some things that are written extra about it, just to kind of help you understand a little bit more or to think a little bit more. There's another one called the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, which Dr. Jack Hayford and others worked on. And there's one that I just found out. For anybody who's business in leadership, I would say buy this because it's really cool. John Maxwell put it out. It's called the Maxwell Leadership Bible, and it's really one that I began to start to look at a lot. And John Maxwell is just a great person about leadership, was a pastor for many years, and actually God opened the door for him to be involved in the secular environment as well. So I'd say do that. So get yourself a study Bible, and then get connected with others. Notice I didn't say small group, because I think we're in a time in the church where we say, small group. You know, it doesn't always have to be a Bible. You don't have to bring a Bible. If you guys want to go bowling together, go ahead, and you can just talk, have fun and talk about stuff, and you can connect in that. But if you're in the Word, it gives you a chance to discuss with each other and bounce it off of each other. There's a lot of ways we can connect with each other. So now let's look back here. Remember our T? Look, notice the difference. Notice the difference in the T. If this is the Word of God, it's life-changing. It's transforming. It's powerful. It smells better. It tastes a little bit better, right? So go ahead and see if your life is not a little bit better. It's not just water. It's the word of God that's in your life. We can take on the nature of Christ. Okay, last one here, and I think this is one of the coolest ones. One of the coolest ones here is, we need to make it a weapon for the challenges of life. We spend so much time just passive, even when we talk about the Word of God, that we go ahead and we say, I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to go get my quiet time. I'm going to go, shh, 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 I got it. We'll play Muzak in the background. When I read the scripture, it never talks about the Word of God being a quiet feather that we go and say, oh. No. What does it talk about? It talks about that we are in a spiritual warfare. And here's a cool verse that I want to show you. It talks about the armor of God. Look here. Therefore, put on the armor of God. So it's saying, put on all your shield and your armor with all this other kind of stuff. And then it says, so that when the day of evil comes, guess what? This year, you're going to get some evil this year. A day's going to come and it's not going to be good. It's not going to be fun. So you may be able to stand your ground. And the only weapon you get is the sword of spirit, which is? This is your weapon. I've never, ever seen a soldier take out their Bible, take out their gun and go, shh, I'm having quiet time. I'm quietly putting in the ammunition. Shh. Yes, okay. Oh, isn't it nice? I leave it over here because I don't want anything to happen with it. Oh, sure, you're going out on the battle, shouldn't you leave it? No, I don't want to mess up the cover. You know what I mean? You should have this with you through life because that day of evil is coming. Satan is a roaming lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, like as somebody put on social media the other day, they thought they had a coyote. Anybody heard that? About the coyotes around here? So a raccoon. It was a big raccoon. You go outside now, and at night, if you're outside with a dog or something, you're like, what's that? You take something with you, don't you? You grab like a shovel or something, you know, you're like you're going to take on a coyote with a shovel. But anyway, it makes you feel good better, doesn't it? This is what you need. This is the only weapon that you need as you're walking through life, because that day of evil will come and he's just waiting for you to have that armor down. And even when the armor's there, eventually it puts enough holes in the armor, it's going to hit you. So we need to have God's word. Look at the translation from the Message version here. It says, God's word is an indispensable weapon. You can't get away from it. You need it. You got to have it, all right? Look at what it says here. The tempter came to him. Jesus lived this out. Every time Jesus was tempted three times, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, what? It is written. Every time he went, here you go. It is written. Satan even, he knows the Word of God. He said, well, hey, it says that God will send his angels to guard you. It says also, do not put the Lord your God to test. You see, Jesus and Satan knows the word, so you better get to know it as well, all right? And so what is the last thing hint I could give to you? Memorize some applicable scriptures for your life. For instance, if you're struggling in life and you're afraid and you're dealing with that, quote Psalm 27:1, which says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If you're you're worried about what's going on in the world, maybe you need to quote 1 John 4:4, which says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Or if life is getting you down and you feel like you're falling apart, maybe you just need to quote Romans chapter 8, verse 37, that says, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. You see, the scripture tells us Satan has fiery arrows. You ever seen somebody? He's like, bing, bing, bing. He's hiding back. I've never seen somebody walk right up to you and go, I have an arrow. Like that, right? That means he's hiding, he's far away, he's getting around there. But what do we have as our weapon? We don't have arrows and bows. What do we have? Sword. Guess how you get close? You got to get close. That means in your life you're going to get close to the devil and you need to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You need to have that. So you need to know these words. You need these words. You need to have these words for every ounce of your life. When you're going to the dentist, go ahead and say, crown him with many crowns. You could do that one. Or there is a dentist verse, and it comes from Psalm 81:10, which says, open wide my mouth and I will fill it, okay? You can learn about, like you can, if you want to use jokes, you can say, what car did the disciples have? A Honda, because they were all in one accord, right? Or you can talk about the shortest person in the Bible, Bildad the shoe height. Okay, so, sorry, it's in Job, read about it. Okay, so, Psalm 118 tells us this. A little bit of humor for you right there, okay? You say, how can I do this, Jack? Seems so much. Psalm 118 says this. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. So I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. This is the longest chapter in the Bible. How can any of us make it? By doing that, and listen, here's the promise. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Don't just get the word of God out here. Get it in here and let it change your life. Guess what? The series is over. It's over. You got to hold on to it. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Get the. So we need to have the foundation. We need what's first, and we need to continue there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Stand up, everybody. Lord God, we've heard about your word, and it's not just something that's written. When we talk about the word written, we're not just talking about it being written in different pages with a nice leather or a nice hardbound book or whether it's on our apps or whatever it may be. God, we need the word of God written in our hearts. So please help us, Lord, to begin to pray and to begin to make your word our foundation. That we build everything else in life. But if our life is chaotic, we need to get back and build your world, our life on your word. Let's start by putting it to the test and going ahead and make it doable by our first 15. So we're going to pray, we're going to read your word, and we're going to worship. And God, you know, some of us have taken the seeds of hurt, seeds of resentment, seeds of doubt, and we've thrown your word on the path where they're not going to go very deep. And God, we spend more time trying to balance the other things that in life that we built, the other foundations that we've tried to build our life on, and to disprove your word as false, that we can't often hear your truth. And when we hear facts and when we hear truth in your word, we immediately want to go someplace else because we've been hurt, or because we just don't know, or because we're just struggling. We're in a place and we've not allowed it to grow deep. Let help us grow deeper. And God, if our life feels like we're getting beat up, it's because we are, because we can only take so many of those fiery darts before we really get hurt. Help us to love your word. Hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against you. That God, we may be face to face with the devil as you were, but when he says something to us, we can come back with your word. And just as he did back then, he'll have to flee. So Lord, speak to us this time. Break through that tough exterior break through all our doubts, and bring your word, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, that gave his life up for us, the word that rose again from the dead and left his Holy Spirit with us and is coming again. So God, here we are. It's broken and messed up and lost and strong and weak as we are. You love us unconditionally. Let's build our foundation upon you. In your name we pray. Amen.
He doesn't usually sing in this last song, but you know, this song just has a real powerful meaning, you know, and it's just such a simple, you know, we talk about God's truth and his word, and we just sing these simple lyrics, you know, you are the way, the truth, and life, and that's what we have to believe, right? Amen? So, as Jack is kind of set up here a little bit, now it's taking a little time, but just take this time to just think about the words you heard today, you know, and drink those in, and just think about, you know, what that means, and, you know, whether you pray, you know, by yourself, or, you know, you got 200 believers here today, you can pray next to somebody. And like I said, we're two or more gathered, just grab somebody and just pray with them. You know, pray with them. You know, it's your opportunity, you know, because Sunday comes and then, like, you know, Monday is just that we forget about Sunday, right? Just remember that Sunday meant something and carry it with you through the week, you know, just like your Bible, just like your armor, just like Jack talked about.
doctors and doubts. They can all come to because they can't stay alone. When I believe you are the way, the truth.
Everybody have a great day today, even if you're the Patriots of Tom Brady, it's okay, right? But have a great day and stay warm. It's going to get warmer. But most of all, may you connect and you put into practice the Word of God. May it be your foundation. And next week, love song. Be ready to come and sing your love song. Here we go. Have a great week.